Hello, Danny O'Brien.
Hello, naughty boy.
I'm sorry about this. So, what have I done wrong?
Well, we had your favourite seat picked out for you.
Yeah.
We had a glass of Prosecco there for you.
Yeah.
A nice meal. And what do we have at the end of the show? An empty seat?
Yeah, but it's not bouncers. It's not you with the handbag. Well,
I've got
news.
A tux, though. Yeah. I'm in a tux.
I've got news for you. I'm going tomorrow night.
Well, we'll be looking.
No. I'm seriously going. Who's this?
I've also brought Helga with me, who's going to give you the telling off tonight.
I'll give you a little spank if you're not careful.
This is a classic piece of theatre.
Well, she is.
Amazing experience. It's
the lovely Kim Hartman.
Kim, I can't believe it. Wow. So it's the first time you worked at the Royal Court?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I think all theatre should be like this.
What's it like to be part of a classic piece of television? Because it's like Last of the Summer Wines.
Yeah,
it's
amazing,
It's hello.
It's weird because you still feel like you, and I'm very lucky because I don't really look like Helga when I'm not in the uniform, mm-hmm. with the big. And so I can get away from it, but I look at it now as, you know, when it's back on the box and it's always being repeated and everything.
But it's not dated.
It's actually not dated. Work. Beautiful writing.
I'll pay you the greatest compliment ever. The greatest compliment ever. It's like Around the Horn.
Yes.
In the respect that it's never dated. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Look at his face.
No.
Bless him.
Oh.
That was a piece of radio when you... How old are you?
35.
Would he be born, though? He'd be a little child.
He'd
be a child. So I'm older than you anyway. So it was a different... But it was the most revolutionary piece of radio that's never dated. And it was actually taking the mickey. And the bosses of the BBC didn't understand, did they?
Yeah.
Which is like hello, hello.
Which is like hello, hello. Exactly.
Unbelievable what you've got away with.
Yeah. And that very British humour.
Yeah. Unbelievable what you've got away with. The more you think about it now.
I know. It's a spostigum, Nicholas.
I didn't know you were coming up. I thought it was just him telling me off.
Oh, lovely. Well, I'm going to tell you all
later. Nice treat.
So, what made you come to the Royal Court in this production?
I'd worked with Bob Eaton, who's our director on this, before, like 15 years ago or something, and I had a great time, did a really funny play called Relatively Speaking that had been written by Alan Ayckbourn. And he got in touch with me and said he was doing Noises Off, which is a play that I've always wanted to be in.
Oh, right.
So, fantastic. I am playing Dotty Ottley, which is a legendary part.
It's
really
interesting you say that you always want to be in it. So, as an actor and actress, are there plays that you all kill for, or have you all got your own, or are there plays you go, got to do that?
I think there are. Yeah,
we're in a special club now, aren't we? Now, because there's a Noises Off club.
It's
quite a sort of difficult thing to actually manage. It's great fun, but you know, there is so much of it that it's all happening front of stage and back of stage all at the same time, and it's quite sort of choreographed in the fights and the running around, and you have to speak at a certain time, and you know, you can't forget your lines or anything.
Oh yeah, it's very disciplined.
So I would be crapping it. No, seriously, I get my pantomime script in July. It takes me a long time. I've got to tell you, because we don't know each other, there's a famous story where I played Buttons and I came down in Cinderella and did the whole opening speech from Aladdin the year before.
Oh.
And I hadn't done it. And they're all going, what? And they went, what? Lost the plot.
Yeah.
Was she talking about wishy-washy?
With a Chinese accent in the middle of Cinderella. I've never been so... And they thought I was saying to me, they said, keep that in. I went, keep what in? It's a hard piece that you've got to be disciplined over.
We had 4 weeks rehearsals.
Three weeks on a tech, which is... You don't get much on the tech, really, do you?
No. We all thought, well, I certainly thought, well, that's going to be plenty of time, but we were really working hard towards the end, weren't we?
Tell us what it's about, Danny.
It's about a group of actors and an actress trying to put a show on, so she's got a little nest egg. But it's about a group of actors who don't really get on. There's a couple carrying on, there's a love triangle, there's an alcoholic, there's a stage... What's the technical term for me?
Oh, you're an ASM.
Stage manager,
really,
ASM, yeah, ASM, yeah, assistant stage manager. And he's pulling his hair out. I've got someone under me, she's pulling her hair out because nothing's going to plan.
And Dan is an understudy as well.
Oh, so, slash understudy as well. So whenever someone's too drunk to go on, I go on. And whenever someone hates themselves, I go on.
And let's see, is Helga.
Well, he's not the, yeah, and he's not the best in the world, is he? No. So it's basically the same play that happens three times. You see the same play from the back of the stage. That's, and the mayhem that ensues, yeah, when there's murder backstage, basically. But they've still really got to put the play on at the front at the same time.
Yeah. So you can see the play, yeah, the sort of, you see our back views doing the play, and then you see us running back onto the stage to carry
That's
on with our
fascinating
fighting or
idea.
Chasing or whatever.
Bob Monkhouse, many, many years ago, did a thing called Comedy Connection, which I was on the pilot,
yes,
and that was a group of comics doing sketches, and you saw them backstage going in through the curtain, coming out and saying,
same
what
thing.
A terrible...
Yeah.
And it was that. And it was... The pilot was shown... We were booked for the series. There were seven comics on it, some fabulous people. Don McLean was one of them. And it was then sold to America, and we lost our jobs, and we were told Christmas Eve it was cancelled.
Oh, no!
Really?
And it was the worst time of my whole career, because we'd had a summer show tied into it in Blackpool, and everything was cancelled. So that, in a way, is noises off.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's probably why you're always bad in panto, because you're always scarred near Christmas time.
Yeah. That is so mean. Why do people do that? Why couldn't they just wait?
It was sold to America. They don't think about people like that. It was sold to America, to the Smothers Brothers, and they did it, and it died on its backside. We did it, and we only did a pilot, and it was sensational. It was really, really clever the way it was done.
Bob Monkhouse is so brilliant.
And he was directing it. And what made me laugh was, and you two will appreciate this, he'd say to you... And he was like a dad to me. I mean, just a million stories. And he'd say to me, put those glasses over there. So move them to there. And you'd do it. And he'd go, do you know the way you did that was really marvellous? I would have done it like that. And you go, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because he just knew. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
I believe the audiences are just coming out aching with laughter.
They are. They every time I come past someone and they're thanking us for it, they're saying they can't breathe. They've got belly aches. They've got their cheeks are aching because it doesn't let up.
No.
The second and third act, it just doesn't let up at all.
Yeah.
Second
it's just,
and third act?
There's three.
So there's only one interval, but the first act is about the same length as the second and third put together.
Yeah.
But the first act is funny, but it's laying down all the stuff that then you reap the rewards from.
It sets it up. It gives you the insight to what actors actually go through as well, to the process of getting it up and on its feet. And then the second and third act, it just doesn't let up. You're just laughing non-stop.
Yeah.
How big's the cast?
Nine.
Oh, wow.
Well done.
Yeah.
Nine.
Wow.
Gosh.
Yeah. That's a big cast.
It is, because in the second act, I mean, it's just organised chaos, because it's nine people running away from each other, running on stage, running to get props, running to get things, and to not knock each other out. I mean, I scarred Chris for life. This
oh, yeah, you threw...
I threw flowers at him and scarred him, but that's the only accident we've had.
Well, no, because Jonathan got smacked, chipped...
Oh, yeah, he's chipped his teeth. Jonathan chipped his teeth,
yes,
as well.
Jonathan plays the director.
It's just... It's manic.
Can you get that clip, please, from Halloween? Put it up for me. Thank you very much. You just remind me of something, which I play, which you'll love.
Okay.
Because you just told me a story. what's the set like?
Amazing. And also what's incredible is it was built at the theatre workshops, which is unusual.
Yeah, we got a chance to rehearse, actually, on the stage.
Yeah, and it's beautiful
it's
set.
Such an integral...
Oh, that's fabulous, that. Mm. That makes a world of difference, doesn't it? Because
it's got to happen
you need
in this,
more
yeah.
time. You need more time.
So you see it from the front. You see the play, as it would be, the play within the play, from the front. But then you see it from backstage as well.
Backstage, yeah.
Don't you think it's amazing what they've done with the Royal Court with the food?
I think it's... Oh, my goodness.
Because you don't after you've had a drink at the end... You don't want to go out anywhere else.
No.
You've had a complete night. You sit down at 7, you eat till 8, you see a fantastic show, you meet the cast afterwards, you can have a drink. You don't want to go out.
And it's so comfy, isn't it? Those seats are so comfy. I mean,
yeah.
so often you go to a theatre and you're perched in a seat and squashed in with other people.
Yeah.
You can lean back, you can put your elbows on the table, you can... Oh,
what they've
fantastic.
Done with that theatre, you wouldn't believe.
No.
We've done, I've done 20, 28 pantomimes, and I've done a few there. And we did it when there was no heating and the air was coming out. And children were crying with the cold. And you weren't getting laughs. Not because you were crap, it was because they were just not. It was a terrible place years ago. And it's a beautiful theatre now.
Yes, it is.
Gorgeous. This play is, when's it running till?
It's this week then, till the 4th of October.
That's right.
Three more weeks. Two and a half weeks.
This week and two more weeks after that, yeah. It's going too fast.
It is, it does. It often does when you're enjoying something like this, yeah.
Kim, have you seen a huge change in theatre for the better or for the worse?
I think it's a great shame there aren't theatres in every town the way they used to be. And certainly when I was young and was just leaving drama school, there was still quite a lot of theatres around the country that you could go and work in. And a lot of people used to go to the theatre. And now, unless you come to towns like Liverpool, Manchester or further up north, there doesn't seem to be that theatre-going public anymore. Mm-hmm. And there aren't the theatres. These beautiful theatres have been closed and many of them demolished. And, you know, there hasn't been the funding to be able to keep them open.
Do you work regularly?
I do. I'm very lucky. Yeah. I work all the time.
Is that through choice?
Yeah.
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 Where are you based?
I live in the Cotswolds, sort of just between the Cotswolds and Stratford-on-Avon.
Nice part of the world.
Yes, it is.
Right, we've got it. Thank you very much to my producer, who is so on the ball. So how did he chip his tooth?
Well, apparently he's got to point up at something, but there's a lot of sheets on heads, and it's just organised chaos in the second act. It really is. How someone doesn't get hurt, I don't know, but it's hilarious. And we didn't realise this till 3 days later. He's just such a trooper, Jonathan, isn't he?
Yeah.
He said that when he pointed up to something, he punched him in the chin and chattered his teeth and chipped the front.
Yeah.
Right. I was at Farmageddon. Farmageddon is up here on Halloween. Farmageddon is an experience up here now, and it's barns with ghosts in. It's a huge, huge experience now. It's been voted Tourist of the Year, etc.
Wow, I won't be here. I'll have to come back.
It's phenomenal. Just inform me, between here and Southport. And it's very, very famous now. And thousands go every night. It's now a big... It goes on for about a month. Right, I am not a person that likes things like that. And this is a legendary piece of radio. Listen to this. You stupid f***er. I brought me f***ing tooth. Oh, God. God, f*** off, you.
Oh, my God.
At 61 years, I've had that tooth. Oh, you shove this f***ing you and your ideas every time. So I know exactly. I know exactly what he went through. So I can empathise with him.
Did you self bleep then? Did you self bleep?
No. If it had gone live, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd have been on the front page of every newspaper and sacked.
Oh my God.
It was horrendous.
Oh,
there's a fella with a chainsaw after me.
Oh.
And I had the mic and I went, look! And I knocked the tooth. And they're all my own teeth. I was demented. Demented. So there, you just cheered me up there.
Oh, I wish I was there.
Oh, that's horrendous.
I went back the next year and I had a baseball bat. Go on then. Got something to say to me, all of you? I was terrified.
I've never been. I've been to the Blackpool one.
Yeah.
Where you work your way through.
Oh, no, this one. You've got to go to this one. This is... There's nothing in the... They've built it. It's Farmer Ted. He's got this farm, had this incredible idea, and it's now out of all... It's spectacular.
So how big is it, then? It's massive.
It's big. There's four... Is it four? It's four. Three. Three... They've got a new one, haven't they? The pigs... Yeah, they've just converted another one. And they have
pigs?
The actors, they have kids. No, it's pig's blood. It's pig. It's an abattoir.
Oh.
So, yeah, oh no, it's brutal. But the kids that work on it have rehearsed 2 months. So it's properly done.
Wow.
It's no messing about. You know, and I went in last time and this monster went, Peter Price. Well, you've never seen anyone go so fast. If you get the chance, though, it is the most incredible experience.
I am. I'm going to go. Right. I've been in the day with the kids. Yeah. Wasn't it scary?
Yeah, no. I promise you. Promise you faithfully. So, it's really worth seeing this piece of theatre at the Royal Court.
Oh, it is. It is. It's so funny.
And you, how many series was it that you pleasure you gave?
We did 9 series altogether over a period of 10 years. But series 5 was 26 episodes long because they thought they were going to be making it for America. But at the last minute, America decided maybe it wasn't their sort of thing.
Did you have much trouble with Hello, Hello? Because it was so revolutionary and so disrespectful and crossed a lot of borders.
It was taking the mickey out of all those films, you know, those old films that used to be on late at night, the wartime films and all that sort of thing. And of course, it was a spoof on Secret Army. The worst thing, I suppose, was really that when we started making Hello, Hello, Secret Army was in fact scheduled to make another series and they cancelled.
Oh, wow. Did you have a lot of trouble getting the part, or were you just cast straight away?
No, I was. I actually had worked with David Croft, who was one of the writers.
Nice man, met him.
A lovely man.
Nice man, a very talented.
A very clever man. And I'd worked in a musical that he'd written, and I kept in touch with him because I thought this is somebody that I need to keep in touch with. And it just happened that I phoned him up. I used to only get in touch with him about once every 6 months or so. And I phoned him up and said I was going to be in London and near the BBC, and should we meet for a coffee? And he said, no, he couldn't. And I thought, oh, no, he doesn't like me anymore. And then he said, but actually, can you pop in on Monday? What's your German accent like? So I said, oh, it's fantastic. I've got a really good German accent, which, of course, I hadn't. And I spent the whole weekend going around talking to everyone, the milkman, everyone, trying to do a German accent. And in fact, after I'd got the job and we were halfway through making the pilot, David Croft came up to me and said, you're doing a Swedish accent. Can you change it, please? So all this work I'd done on what I thought was my German accent, it was all hoop-de-hoop-de-hoop. So
amazing,
I did.
Amazing, amazing. What's next for you?
What's next
after
for me?
This?
Next for me is going off. I'm having a holiday. My husband is filming out in New York. And so he's in a thing called Person of Interest, which is on Channel 5. And I'm going to go out there and have a holiday with him. Mm. And I'm having Christmas with my family because I did Panto last year. And
in then, Cotswolds, which is a lovely Cotswolds. Place to have Christmas.
And then next year, Richard Gibson, who is who played Herr Flick, he and I are writing a sitcom, which is hopefully coming together at the beginning of next year.
Great. Danny?
Hey, I'm looking forward to Christmas after this and Farmer Ted's.
And what are you doing? Got anything in the book?
No, not yet. Not yet. As yet. No, no.
Not yet? No. I've just got to bring somebody in. Marcus.
I'm here. Hello.
Hiya. Do you know who's sitting opposite me now? I've got Danny O'Brien, they're in Noises Off, but I've got Kim Hartman, who was in Hello, Hello.
Oh, really?
Remember the horny one?
I remember. Hello, Hello.
I'm going to be with you in a minute, Marcus.
No problem.
Don't go away. That's Marcus Collins, who's going to be talking about the X Factor next. I am delighted. It finishes when?
The 4th of October.
And there's some matinees?
Saturday matinees, 2 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which have been really well attended, haven't they? Yeah.
Well, a lot of people like to go and then
make the
go home.
Yeah.
You know, You know, rather than stay at night.
Yes.
You know, but it's not late anyway. It's not a late place, the Royal Court. And the buses are right outside. I love it.
It's in a great place.
It's one of my favourite theatres. Yeah, I'm at the Empire in Panto, but I do love the Royal Court. But I've got an affection for both of them. Yeah. It's just
God, the history of the place, like the people that it's had on that stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. I was going to tell you a really wicked story, but I can't because I could get people sacked.
Oh,
no,
damn
I won't.
It.
I won't. So hopefully we'll say hello tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm definitely coming to you. I'm bringing a couple of friends.
Good.
And I, by the way, I've got a laugh. I have a laugh. You will know I'm in.
Good,
I just make myself hoarse laughing. It's
Excellent.
One of them stupid things. So, Noises Off, and there's matinees, and it's doing fabulous, and it's well worth seeing.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, great pleasure.
Us.